how big God is. We get to see what he thinks. We get to talk about the nations. We get to talk about individuals. We get to talk about a lot of things with these verses. So I'll just read it quickly, and then we'll start. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us, and that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase, God. Our God shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. As we read through this psalm, I think there's like four or five songs that always pop into my mind. Because people like this psalm. People like to read about it. It's very positive. It's very uplifting. It's very encouraging. It's all those kind of things. And you have to ask the reason why. Why is this powerful? Why is this encouraging? And we have to start off at the very beginning. Why do we ask God to be gracious to us? Why do you think? Why do we say, God, please be gracious to me? We need it, right? It's the opposite. We didn't earn it. We're not good enough to be blessed on our own. God has to be gracious to us. But he says to ask that. He wants us to ask him. He wants us to say, God, I need you. Can you please help me with work or family or whatever it is? God, please be gracious to me. And make his face shine upon us. Anybody raised in a church that they'd say that at the end of every service? Yeah, there's a few of us. So I was a good Lutheran boy growing up. Grandma would take us, and they'd do the little Aaronic blessing, I think is the official title. So in Numbers, the end of chapter 6, God told Moses to tell Joshua to tell Aaron to bless everybody like this. So there's all these dominoes. But he would say, do this blessing over the people. I'm a God who wants to bless his people. I'm a God who wants to take care of his people. I'm a God who wants to follow, be ahead of, be beside of, be above, be under. And I'm always paying attention to my people. And I want them to always remember that. That I am with them no matter what. And I want to bless them. Maybe not in the ways we always like. May not feel the best, but he always wants to bless us. He always has the best for us. He's the good parent. But then in verse 2, we have the connection, the why. Why is God blessing the people? Why is he picking them up? Why does he want to take care of them? It's so that he may be known. Verse 2, that your name may be known on earth, in your ways, in your saving power among the nations. Is that your thought process when you pray? What is your thought process? Lord, I need a better job. Lord, for me, I need a new car. But do I think, oh, I need a new car so I can bless somebody? Or is it, I need a new car to make sure we can get to town and when winter comes, we don't die on the side of 93 someplace? How do we think of how God does things? Do you remember when the covenant was made with Abraham? And it starts going, you know, I want to make you the father of all the nations. I want to bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you, so that you may be a what to who? A blessing to the nations. Okay? It was always this way. It was always God's purpose that it wasn't so we could have a great life and end there, so that we could be blessed, we could receive his grace and his love and his mercy, and then we could walk it out. So in the Old Testament, it would be, wow, David, how come you're so rich and powerful? Solomon, how come you're so smart? How come the whole world is looking at them? Well, that was God's purpose. God says, I want everyone to look at you and say, what's different? And then the answer shouldn't be, I'm smarter than you. I'm richer than you. I'm cooler than you. I'm whatever. It should be because of our God. Our God chose us just like he wants to choose you. Our God loves us just like he wants to love you. Our God wants to change everything that happened at the fall in the garden. Because the fall brought all these curses. And God says, I want to bring all these blessings back. Because a couple weeks ago, we put these glasses on. Do you remember that? And what was the point? What was the point of the glasses a couple weeks ago? There were seven. Come on, it's only been 2 weeks. Okay, we read the psalm in seven ways to get seven perspectives. Very good, class. All right. So I know how well that illustration worked. So it was the idea of, you know, you would read these psalms and think of it in different ways. Well, when God looks at blessings and he looks at the world and he does all the things, he has his own perspective. When I read the news or look at the nations, you know, I see Russia invading Ukraine. And my righteous thoughts are, oh, that dirty Putin, right? That's my righteous thoughts. And it's like, oh, I should not be saying or thinking or doing anything like that. You know, or ISIS going in and kicking out all the Christians and murdering people. Okay? I'm for something, I'm against something. But hopefully this one will sink in a little better. Now we have God's perspective. He sees things differently. He sees the whole picture. He sees it from before creation till after the second coming. And his plan is totally different. What he thinks, what he knows, what he wants is totally different than my perspective. And it's my job to hopefully figure out what his perspective is. So a couple weeks ago, I got a little lesson in this. We had a guy come through the base. He was on staff back in the 90s, and he was a sports guy, and he was a native from Egypt, and God said, you know, go back. So he went back, now has a family, has all sorts of ministries, but God told him, do you want my glory? Well, of course, well, yeah. Do you really want my glory? Well, yes. He says, well, I want you to work with, you know, street kids, orphans, refugees, all those kind of people. And he was like, oh, that's okay. No problem. But then he said two other people groups he wanted him to work with. He says, I want you to work with the Hamas and the Hezbollah. Exactly. And he says, this is crazy. You know, those are the people that want to kill people, that want to murder people, that want to do everything by force. They want to do everything that would be opposite of what, you know, the love your neighbor idea. So he said, okay. And now eventually, you know, through this time, what, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, it was all about the Islamic Brotherhood, Muslim Brotherhood, I think it was called. And they came through and they wiped out churches. They took over the government in Egypt. It was just horrible. Christians dying left and right. And in my perspective, that's all I could see. I just saw violence. I saw coups or military overthrows, because that's my perspective. It's all I could get from the news. Those were all the stories. But now it's, you know, 3 or 4 years later, Islamic Brotherhood has been kicked out. They're not even a group anymore in Egypt. Everything is illegal. 3 million Muslims signed a little contract that said, I renounce my Muslim heritage because this is what it brings. They're not all Christians yet. They're working on it. But now those 79 churches that were burned, the government's going to build them all for free back up again. In those 3 or 4 years, more people became Christians than the history of Egypt. More missionaries went in, more relief groups went in the middle of the war than when it was peaceful before. That's God's perspective. As God sees, guess what? I'm in control. I don't understand it, but he's in control. And he had love and compassion and a plan for both sides. And that's where my heart needs to be. There's a woman on the TV when they're interviewing him, and this guy comes up to her and says, you walked out of a church and you had 2 daughters in your arms and they were both shot as you were walking out of church. How do you want to pay them back? You know, you want to hang them? You want to shoot them? What would you like to do? And guess what her answer was? What would your answer be? If you walked out of here and some guy drove up in a big truck and they just started shooting, where's your heart? Because her heart was, I want to pray for them and tell them about Jesus. Because they're going to hell unless they change. To me, that's somebody who gets being blessed by God, who understands the mercy of God, who understands the curse, the fall, all of those kind of things. Because in our reality, it just doesn't make sense sometimes. How could somebody do all this evil and yet we're going to turn around and love them? And Jesus will say, have you read the gospel? Did you look at my life? Did you see my responses to people? See me on the cross and how I prayed for the guys doing it to me? I said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But it's hard. It's hard to get to those kind of places. But she was blessed enough that she could be a blessing. She was serious enough about her faith to really get close to God. Her life was shattered, but yet Jesus could pick her up and heal her to such a place to be there. And then he started talking about the Hamas and Hezbollah. Okay? Known terrorist group, the whole bit. They really knew he was all about Jesus. He thought, I'm next. They'll just kill me. That's just the way it is. So somehow, through different relationships, it ends up to be they go to prayer time, all the adults go to prayer time, and the Christian workers get all the kids. Okay? First couple weeks, they're really cautious. You know, we'll just play some games. We'll just have some snacks, really basic. But, you know, after a month or so, kids start asking questions, you know, who are you? What do you guys do? And then they start sharing about Jesus. Okay? And then kids start becoming Christians. Okay? How do you think that one went over? Huh? No problem? Okay? So he says, well, he wasn't working with them, but his group was working with them. And so one of the kids goes home and, you know, tells mom and dad, oh, yeah, we prayed to Jesus today. And I accepted him in my heart. Okay? So next day, guess what? Daddy comes with his machine gun to the door. What's going on? What are you teaching my kids? Well, how do you respond to something like that? Do you let him in? Do you lie? Do you run out the back door? Hide under the bed? No. These guys just said, yep. This is what we talk about. This is what we believe. We love your kids. We just want to bless them. We're just here for them. You know, we don't mean to be disrespectful or anything, but this is who we are. And now some of the terrorist guys are starting to become Christians. And supposedly, I don't know how all the family relations work over there, but a nephew of one of the biggest guys is in their camps or in these little times. When God sees the Middle East, he sees something totally different than we do. He loves both sides. He cares about both sides. He wants them both to be blessed. He wants them both to be his children. And obviously he doesn't want the war, he doesn't want the killing, he doesn't want any of that kind of stuff. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when God sees a problem, he's on both sides. There's not just the right side and the wrong side. There's the people that God's love doing bad things to each other. And he doesn't want it. So when we read these verses, it says God's going to judge among the nations, that he's going to direct these nations. It's happening. But the hard part is, unless somebody comes and talks to me about him, unless I read it someplace, I don't know that. I just see the chaos. I see the murderer. I see whatever. I don't see the good stuff. Because that's not what our world is about. You know, our world's about, is it going to be sunny or rainy tomorrow? You know, how's your football team going to do this fall? You know, how'd the stock market do? What are we going to have for dinner? That's the world I revolve around, and I understand that. But when I read things, when I try to think about things, whose perspective do I have? Do I have a Montana perspective? Do I have a Western perspective? Or do I have God's perspective? And when I pray about things, or when I want to be involved in things, I need to choose sides. And what sides do I choose? And God says, choose my side. And my side is, you love your neighbor and you love your enemy. And then you go, oh, that's tough. That's really tough. But then God says, do you remember verse 1? when you ask me to be gracious, and you ask to be blessed, well, I'm asking you to do the same. I'm asking you to be gracious to your neighbor, to extend grace to your enemy. And I'm not a military guy, I'm not a psychologist, so what is the best way to do all those things? I have no idea. But I know I should be praying for both sides. I should be loving to both sides. I should be watching my mouth for both sides. And how do I view the world? Do I view the world as good and bad? Us and them? They're just rotten to the core. Nothing will ever change. They're born that way. They're raised that way. They're however you want to phrase all those ideas and concepts that we have. Or do we look at them all as one big group? Say, God created them all in His image. Now I'm going to do my best to love every one of them, to share the gospel with every one of them, to be nice to every one of them. Or are we going to become the problem, start choosing sides, start saying they're the bad guys, they're horrible, they're nothing, they're worthless, they're whatever. And these are the good, righteous guys that'll never do anything bad ever. Well, they're both lies. The good side, they're not all 100% good. The bad side, they're not all 100% bad. God says, ask to be blessed so that you can influence them all. That's what God wants. And then you get to see the results in 5. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. That's the goal. So we want everyone to praise Him. We want everyone in this church, everyone in our families, everyone in the valley, everyone in the state. And it goes on and on. To everyone in the world, everyone that's not even born yet. That's what we want. And that should be our goal. Is that everyone could say those first couple verses. That everyone could say, God, I understand who you truly are. I understand who I truly am. And they should say, thank you, God. Be gracious, graceful. Be merciful to me. Bless me, please. That's what we want to share to the world. And that's what this psalm is all about. It's trying to put myself in perspective, God in perspective, the world in perspective, and understand how God wants to operate. God says, I want to take care of you. I want to love you, and I want to bless you. I want to be gracious to you. I want to make you righteous. I want to make you holy. I want to have great things for your life. And then he says, what are you going to do about it? And hopefully I would want to do the same exact thing to the people around me. I would want to be gracious and merciful and be a blessing and love them. That's my part. And when we do that, the world does change. Because hopefully each one of us had somebody in our lives that did that to us and for us. Somebody that says, yeah, I'll love them. I'll teach them about grace. I'll show them Jesus. That's what Barb is doing right now. She's telling those little kids all about who God is and who they are and His loving on them. Hopefully we'll have a million Barbs come out of this church. That's right. who want to see people and want to love on them and tell them the truth. Those should be our goals. So that everyone can praise God. Because right now they're not. And it's obvious. You just turn on the TV. You read a newspaper. You look on the internet. And it's just full of hate and confusion. And no one knows what to do with situations. And they go to all these extremes. I mean, the last week we had Robin Williams committing suicide. I don't know all the reasons, but he felt that's what was the right thing to do at the time. You had this Ferguson stuff where they're just rioting because of injustice, people think. I don't know the story, but this is where people go with their frustrations. People don't know what to do with all this stuff, and they don't have God to go to. And once again, we can start picking sides. And we start making accusations. Like, I know why he did that, or I know why they're doing this. They're just stupid, or they're using it as an excuse, or this is a political thing, or whatever. But at the end of the day, they just all need Jesus. That's their number one problem. And my number one problem is I don't feel the weight of it. I don't feel enough weight to do something about it. Some days I feel that weight and I do a lot. Some days I just want to sit at home and go like this. Some days I just want to sleep in. And that's normal, you know, to go like this. But how do we view the world? How do we view our neighbors? How do we view our enemies? Because it's totally different than what's natural for me. And I'm sure a few of you, it's the same way. And that's why we always need those influences in our life to put us back on track. And that's why these people in the Old Testament would write these kind of psalms and sing them over and over and read them and meditate on them. So that, oh, yeah, I can get back on track. Oh, yeah, God, thank you for being who you are. Yep. Okay. I need to understand who I am. And, oh, what's the purpose of life and all this kind of stuff? It's to bless others, to love on them, to teach them, to raise them up, disciple them. Throw whatever kind of words you want, make you feel good, throw them in there. That's our job. Then in 6 and 7, the earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. It's God bless, 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 bless. You know, like I said before, it's the opposite of the garden where the curses came. They're crying out, God bless us. We need help. I need help to love my neighbor. And if I need help to love my neighbor, I really need help to love my enemy. And it starts with this idea of fearing God, of understanding who God really is, of loving the things he loves and hating the things he hates. And that kind of stuff just doesn't happen. That's us taking God seriously. And that's another hard thing to do. Because when it's a time of tragedy, we take God very seriously. When somebody says cancer, you lose your job. Yeah, then God becomes very real because we have nowhere else to go. It's out of our control. But when we got money in the bank, job looks good, family's good, kids are healthy, where does God fit in? Because we ask God to bless us, but once he blesses us, where does God fit into the picture again then? So God, thank you, I'm healthy. Thank you, my wife still puts up with me. Thank you that my kids aren't in jail. Thank you for whatever, you know, all these blessings that are in your life. But then once we kind of get blessed, then we stop chasing after God as hard as we used to do. And then it starts, we deal with the issue of discipline. Okay, God, why do I come Sunday mornings? Sometimes I get stuff out of it. Sometimes I'm daydreaming. Sometimes my tummy is not feeling so good. We all come at different places. But it's the idea of, oh yeah, I need to get my perspective right. I need to remember who I am. I need to remember who God is. I need to remember this isn't all just an accident. I need to remember that I can be a part of changing the world for good and for bad. How I relate to people, how I view people, how I treat people. I can bring water to the fire or I can bring gas to the fire. What are you going to bring? Are you going to bring the hugs or are you going to bring the punches? What do you bring to the world? Because I know when we ask God for all the good stuff, don't we? We say, God, please have mercy. Please bless me. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, wherever crisis we're in at the time, God bless me. Do we have that same compassion on our neighbor? Do we have that same compassion on our enemies? Do we even care? Do we? Do you even care? At the end of the day, do you even really care? There are some days where I don't. I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I'm frustrated, I'm sick, I'm whatever. I just want to go to bed. I just want to watch something that, you know, makes me laugh. You know, I just want to go to bed. I don't want to fight one more battle. So what do you do in those times? Do you just go deeper and deeper and say, well, I didn't care yesterday, so I won't care today? God's big enough, he'll take care of it. Jamie's got it. That's his job, right? He'll take care of everything. Well, guess what? Jamie can't take care of everything. Too many people in this church, too many people in the valley. God says, I created you for that job. I have blessed you to do that job. I have sanctified you to do that job. I have made you holy. I have made you righteous. I've given you the understanding. I have given you eternal life. I have given you mercy. He's given us all those things so that we can be a part of the solution. And this is where things like Sunday morning and small groups and prayer chains and all those kind of things, that's what they're for, is to help us. Just help me get back on track. Help me get the right perspective. Help me to remember all the things that God did for me, so then I'll get excited to do it for somebody else. So one last story. There's a guy on base named Raju. He's from India. He has a wife and a daughter and a son. And they came here 6-7 years ago. And he lives another kind of life. He just does. He has more faith than I'll ever have. He believes God for more. He prays for people. You know, you just ask him a question, what'd you do this week? Oh, somebody got healed. I was in a hospital. Somebody got healed from cancer. Somebody got this miracle and that miracle. He's in some ways an idol to me. That, oh, if I could only have half of his faith. Okay, he's the kind of guy, he walks into a bank, doesn't have a credit card, doesn't have a credit score, and they gave him a loan. Impossible. Impossible to do in the United States, and they gave him a loan. Just because he's persevering. He's that widow that just never stops. So on Wednesday nights, he decided, hey, I'm going to start just go walking around Kalispell, just witnessing to people, praying for people, loving on people. So different ones of our staff are going, different ones of our students are going, different churches are going. So they just get together on a Wednesday night, they pray for a little bit, and then they just divide up and go in pairs or teams or whatever. You know, so they'll go to, you know, these holy places like, you know, Target, you know, Walmart, things like that. So there's another Jason on staff, and he went one night, and he says, oh, never had the guts to pray for somebody in a wheelchair. He goes, I prayed for a lot of other people, you know, people who wanted to receive Jesus, lots of people on outreach to get healed, but I've never had the guts to pray for somebody in a wheelchair. I just feel, what happens if nothing happens? I'll be embarrassed. They'll feel awkward. Just never had that. So he decided, please pray for me. Tonight, I'm going to pray for somebody in a wheelchair. So they did. And he's walking around, you know, the Cathedral of Walmart over here where righteousness reigns. And he sees a lady in a wheelchair. So he, you know, gets a little anxious, you know, maybe even a little afraid, you could say. And he's, okay, what if this goes wrong? What if she yells at me? What if she, you know, what if? All those things are running through his head. So he finally gets up the guts, walks up to her, you know, kind of introduces her, hey, can I pray for you? And prays for her for a couple minutes. And then she turns to him and says, oh, I am 50 years old, and that's the first time anybody has ever prayed for me. She didn't get up and walk. She didn't do anything. But right down here, what, half a mile maybe? There's people that are clueless about what we talked about this morning. It's not just about the other end of the world. There's people right here have never really been loved, have never really heard about Jesus. I've never really heard about grace. And they're right here. They're our neighbors. And this isn't about guilting you into doing anything. It's just about, yeah, it's the truth and it's the reality. And God has said, I'm trying to do everything I can for you so that you can do the same for other people. He says, that's as basic as it can be. I loved you so you can love somebody else. I created you so you can love somebody else. I created you to love. That's why we get all these stupid little lustful, greedy, stalker, all those kind of crazy things come up because that's the way God created us. And we use them in the wrong ways. But God says, ask me to bless you, and I will. Ask me to be gracious to you, and I will. And you should be so excited, so happy, so everything, that you can't contain it. Amen. How many of you have ever read an awesome book or saw the greatest movie, and you tell all your friends? Oh, I just saw this cool action, boom, everything was going. Oh, you should have seen the fireworks. Ooh, this is the coolest game. We share it with everybody. And how much importance is that? When we can share eternal life. We can change somebody's eternity. We can take somebody who's depressed and hurting and fill them up with joy and peace and life. That's what this psalm is about. And that's what a lot of the Bible is about. It's just walking us through how great God is, how we need the help, and how we can live this life. So, Lord, I thank you.